Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
This is Spock. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolyte.
Yeah, it's got electrolyte.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
In Port City Patriots, welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Le Chocolat Thunder. Boom. I want to introduce the family of the fallen. They're here. We're going to go through our normal stuff and then let them tell you what they're doing. So I have with me Lieutenant Tina Zanka.
Thanks for inviting us.
And Bill Appling. You are both members of Family of the Fallen. And we'll let you guys tell us what Family of the Fallen is all about. First things first, I have to say happy birthday to my sister-in-law, Angela Young. I have to say happy anniversary to Jean and Jill Seymour, to Steve and Ashley Humphrey. Happy birthday to Randall Weaver. Anniversary to my good friend Paul and Kay Prine, 36 years. Happy birthday to Todd Morrison. He and my good friend Paul Check are celebrating birthdays this month. Those are two of my favorite people. I hope they're listening. Happy birthday to Deaf Jeff Corley. I hope you're listening. Happy anniversary, 54 years, to Mr. and Ms. Mark Foley. And happy birthday to my one-time roommate, Ernesto Trubig. I also want to say rest in peace to a former police officer named Stephen Wade Gordon, born March 8, 1966, and passed away August 9, 2025. A fine man. We lost a good soldier in Christ and a good family man. Rest in peace. Pray for his family that they have solace in this time. I could easily spend my entire show saying how great some people are, that when I reached out to them, I'm working with this organization called Kingdom Knights. And as it stands now, we have 16 boys enrolled in the program, and we teach life skills. We teach them how to shake a hand, tie ties. We give them just instruction. They're there receiving the word, the gospel, and they show up every other Saturday and are attentive. These are the kids that are raising their hands saying, I want help. I don't want to be lost. And these are the kids we should pour into instead of constantly trying to bring back kids that don't want, or we have to fight them to want. These kids want help. I sent out a call Saturday afternoon after I went and spoke to them. I realized they all needed haircuts and a new set of duds. So I told them, I made a promise to them that I wrote a check I didn't have the money in the bank for. So I said, I'm going to get everyone a haircut and a new set of clothes on August 30th when we meet again. So I walked outside and said, Lord, please help me find some barbers to give free haircuts. This was just made up at the moment. But I went out and several people, I'm going to dedicate a show to all the people that helped, just instantly said, one of the quickest responses I got was from Assistant Chief Melvin Jones. I sent the text message and I may have pressed send 3 seconds. He was sending a message saying, what can I do to help? Same thing with Bishop Wesley Davis. They all, Joe Piggott, they all said, Lemuel Dozer, they all said, what can I do? Tim and Annie Chaffee. And what shook me the most, what I was moved by, is the thank you note that Tim and Annie gave me saying, thank you for letting us be a part of your mission. I was so flattered that what I'm saying other people are responding to. But these are the kids that we need to pour into. And that's why by the 30th, I will have barbers lined up. I think I got them right now. We're trying to do $200 per kid. There's 16 kids. That's $3,200. I have people who've pledged money, and if they give the money that they've said they will, we'll have more than enough. Hopefully, we'll have some money left over to put in their pockets so they can fold down, because nothing like a new haircut and a new set of clothes to make a man feel good, especially when he has a few dollars in his pocket. So that will be a show in and of itself after the 30th. But the text and phone line is 251-343-0106. Call in, text in. Tonight's show is about employment. This is the third part of the four-part series, Family, Education, Employment, and Discipline. Tonight's dedicated to employment and how important that is. So now, you guys tell me, what is Family of the Fallen? You tell me what you do. One of you.
Go ahead, Bill.
So, Family of the Fallen was started a few years ago by Lieutenant Zanka, back then Sergeant Zanka. And she had the opportunity to realize, and she'll tell you more of the story, that there was a need for support mechanism for officers' families that had been lost, either killed or severely injured in the line of duty. And with her involvement in Mardi Gras and with the just this little moment that she got to spend with an officer's family that was just standing by and watching Mardi Gras, it gave her a whole idea that blossomed into Family of the Fallen. And as it's grown, we've grown our spectrum of who we're going to help, who we are helping, and we're going to provide even scholarships for kids. That's one thing that we're working on now.
Do these have to be mobile police officers that have fallen in the line or severely injured in the line?
Initially, when we started, it was. However, we've grown that to about a three-hour radius from Mobile, and I believe we did the whole state.
We did the whole state of Alabama in 3 hours each direction.
Wonderful. So how many families do you think you've helped since you started, 3 years ago?
3 years ago? Roughly, I think we've represented about 50 families. We start off representing probably about 8 families per parade. Now we've narrowed it down to 4 families that we can put more time into those families, and they can have more members participate in the float. So our big event is obviously during Mardi Gras. That's how it got started. But we've grown to where we do a breakfast for the families, and we get to sit around, and the families get to interact with each other. And then they provide another level of support and another level of friendship that just keeps going.
So it is a support system. When you say once a cop, always a cop, you stick with the family even after their police member is not around.
Absolutely. A lot of times, once the funeral hits, then those families kind of disappear until the next funeral comes around. And it's one of those things that we want to reach out and we want to make sure they stay connected, whether it be with the local agency or just with us to provide resources and anything else that they need.
A labor of love.
Yes.
Well, do you have any upcoming events, anything the people of the Port City Patriots need to know about?
We absolutely do. We are hosting our first fundraiser November 8th. It's the theme is going to be a jailbreak 5K. We're sticking with our Mardi Gras theme and starts and ends at Mardi Gras Park.
I got the single finger salute from the Mad Hatter. How do they get in contact with you if they want to donate money, donate time, or just be a part of it? How do they contact you?
You can reach out through the website, which is familyofthefallen.org, or through our Facebook page. If you search Facebook, you'll find that Facebook page with the same name. That's Family of the Fallen.
Right. So we are down to about 30 seconds. So tell the people what they need to hear in 30 seconds about Family of the Fallen to encourage them to participate.
This is the one benefit that you can participate in that will provide for families that have lost their father or their mother to violence or to some accident, unfortunately. That's sometimes what takes a police officer's life. And you're able to actually be a change for that family, to bring them some light.
Oh, thank you guys for coming up on the break. Family of the Fallen, go to their Facebook page. Reach out to them. If you can't, contact me and I'll put you in contact with them. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm Mr. Mobile. Tonight's topic is employment, but before we get in that, I have to stay employed because Celeste wants her money. Ed's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, located at 266 I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-4653 Gold. Go in and see Ed, Sandra, Braxton, JJ, Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, or Dolly for whatever your needs are. Be it electronics, televisions, radios, cassette players, drum kits, power tools, jewelry, pistols, shotguns, rifles, potpourri, everything for your bedroom or boudoir. Go in there, rub Braxton's beard, and give JJ a hug. But check out Eddie's Pawn. Before you go pay full price somewhere, check out Eddie's Pawn Shop on Spring Hill Avenue. They may have something that'll beat the deal that you think you're going to get. Youth Reach Gulf Coast is a Christ-centered residential home for young men aged 18 to 22. It is located in Summerdale, Alabama, on an 81-acre campus. They offer a year-long minimum full-service opportunity at no cost to the men or their families. At YRGC, men and staff members live, work, and enjoy life together. The community provides a healthy, stable environment for residents to know hope, be restored, and a feeling of belonging. It is a voluntary commitment, but YRGC can and does work with the court system to help the young men resolve their court cases. Throughout the year, the men receive biblical teaching, counseling, valuable life skills, and tools for healthy habit and character building. Please visit the website, yrgc.org, for more information. Today comes out of Genesis 3, and you know, I always, the group I'm a member of, Cha-Cha Hogan, Bro Young, we always focus on men first. We say that the duty of a man is to provide. And it says, Genesis 3, starting at 17, and Adam said, God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Employment is so important in a boy's life growing up. And you guys on the text line or phone line, 251-343-0106, I want to hear what your first job was. Marcus and I got a lawnmower one summer. And Dad said, as long as you cut our yard first, you guys can go cut as much grass as you want. And we did. And we cut grass and we cut grass and we cut grass. And there's something fulfilling, even at the age of 14 or 15 years old, there's something fulfilling about earning your own money. But at that young age, it instilled a work ethic in us to go out and earn what we want. That was our money. Daddy never asked for a dime of it. He didn't ask us to chip in on bills. He didn't even ask us to pay for our own bills. And there was very fulfilling to us at a very young age of going out and cutting grass. So that's why the first reason it is important to have employment is because it gives you a sense of self-worth. It feels good to earn your own money. I was talking to my buddies at Cunningham and Bounds this morning, and they said the same thing. Their first, Heath and Joe said their first jobs were cutting grass. Dennis Owens also said the same thing. When he was 13 years old, he started a lot younger, but he lived in the country. But for a young man, he has to learn that tough side of earning. I remember one spring break my junior year, Coach Akins asked me to help him roof a house. So it was me and Pat McKean. And think, I wasn't 230 pounds then. I was like 160 pounds. And we stripped that roof with shovels. And I carried those bundles up on my shoulder on an old aluminum ladder. But he paid us back then. I think he was paying us 10 bucks an hour. And he paid us cash. But that was a learning experience that weekend. I said, I'll never be a roofer. So I had to realize. But at the end of it, I think we may have made 200 or 300 bucks. And at 17, 18 years old, you know, that's a lot of money back in the 86, oh, yeah. 87, 88. You know, you could buy three, four pairs of shoes, a pair of pants, and an album.
Minimum wage was $3.45 in 1988.
Right. And we were making three times that as teenagers. And so that taught me a valuable lesson. I could earn the money. I knew I could do manual labor. I just knew I didn't want to. I also had a job after that with my good friend Randy Hollingsworth, landscaping. They call it landscaping. We were just cutting grass. And I had a self-propel mower, but we cut the grass at Lafayette Square Apartments. And I realized then, I don't want to do landscaping. I didn't quit immediately. I finished that job. But the beat down I got from my dad from quitting, I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week because that was hard work.
Oh, I did landscaping in the middle of the summer back in 1998. And it was, man, we had to douse ourselves with hoses just to keep going.
It was miserable. A lady gave me a cold Coca-Cola. She saw that I was about to pass out. She saw it was all over for JY. But she gave me a cold Coca-Cola and it helped me keep pushing. But even in all that, Matt Hatter, even in all that suffering, it taught a work ethic. It taught you have to go out and earn what you want. And we need to get back to that. You know, the part of it used to be an automatic that you wanted to work. You couldn't wait to because then I can buy exactly what I want.
Make your own money.
Make your own money. But we've incentivized not working too much. We make it easy for people not to hold a job because we give them money. I have some statistics here I'm going to read a little bit later. But it's amazing how people don't want to work. And not just any job, but don't want to do anything simple. I bet some of this generation, if you paid them to come to work and sleep for 8 hours, they quit saying that you want them to sleep too long. I really believe we reached that point in our society where work is optional. It should never be optional for anyone, but especially a man. You know, my good friend Greg Poole works for Pitts and Sons in Saraland, and they need a diesel mechanic. If you need a job with a diesel mechanic, call them at 251-802-0344, a locally owned business. That's not a paid advertisement. That's me telling you my buddy is hiring at his business. There's no such thing as not being able to find a job. My good friend Dennis Owens owns Silver Creek Contractors. They do land cleaning, demo work, site work, house pads, pole barns, house decks, all types of dirt work. Their phone number is 251-504-0851 or silvercreekconstruction@gmail.com. These are people hiring jobs. Now, they're paying you a decent wage to come out and work. There's employment available, but we have to get back to work ethic. We have to get back to the desire to work ethic means even when I don't feel like going, I go. Even if I don't want to stay another hour, I stay. Even if I don't want to do someone else's job that requires of me, I do it. And the ability to do that every time you show up to work. Desire without discipline is delusion. If you have a desire to have money or have a car or have certain clothes, but if you don't have the ability to go earn it, well, there's only two options you have. Someone give it to you or someone takes it from you. And we're dealing with a lot of that now where people have these materialistic ideas and they'd rather pick up a gun and take it from someone. Well, that's a self-correcting problem. Eventually you go to jail or someone says, I don't want you to take my stuff, and they kill you. So let's just get back to working. You know, you got a text? No, not yet. So we promote education, family education and employment. And it may not be the job that you want. I remember before I started my police career at Pritchard PD in 92, I worked at the hospital, mobile infirmary, as a security guard, Pinkerton security guard. Well, that was a step up from where I was at Subway. So the next step was working at Wells Fargo. And it was an interesting, there were some interesting characters working at Wells Fargo in the early 90s. Just, they were just fascinating. We should have written a book. And after that, I needed a career. I was getting older, you know, 22 years old. I needed a career. So that's when I started in the Pritchard Police Department for 6 years. I bopped around to a few other departments, and now I've been with my current employer for 23 years. But each time I changed jobs, Mad Hatter, it was a better job than the last one. It was always an improvement.
Yes.
And that's what we have to tell these kids. You start off here. You start off here. You start off waiting tables or, hey, welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? And then each time you get a job, you improve.
Minimum wage is a starting point.
It teaches you how to show up, punch a clock, pay taxes, file your tax return. That's what it's for. It isn't meant for you to stay there forever unless you move up to manager.
Right.
But if you're 30, 35 years old and you're still flipping burgers, you need to think about life choices. Call up Greg Poole or call Dennis Owens and get a construction job. You know, call Debbie Simpson at Smith Industrial Services. And again, these aren't paid advertisements. These are local businesses that need employees. So there is an opportunity for everyone to work if they just have the discipline to work, the work ethic. And we have a duty to embarrass people also. We have a duty to say you shouldn't be 40 years old still sleeping on your mother's couch or 40 years old jumping from woman's house to woman's house. Go earn it. Earning, Mad Hatter, earning it feels so much better. It's yours. No one can take that away from you. There's no such thing as you've worked and earned your money and someone can just take, well, the government taxes us. But that's different. But we're coming up on our second break. When we come back, we'll get into some numbers from Mobile County, 251-343-0106. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I'm your host, Mr. Mobile. We're talking about employment tonight, and so I want to talk about the numbers. The Mobile County profile put out by the Alabama Department of Workforce Labor Market Information Division. As of June of 2025, Mobile County has a labor force of 190,684. They have, of those, 183,660 are employed, leaving 7,024 unemployed with an unemployment rate of 3.7%. And I say that because these numbers I got from their website is from November of 2024. But with that many people unemployed, there are jobs posted. In 2024, the top occupations with most ads posted. This is how they measure number of jobs available, by how many jobs are posted, whether online or print media or on websites or in the unemployment office. So there are currently in Mobile County 554 customer service representative jobs available. Meanwhile, there are 865 people filing unemployment benefits from the customer service representative jobs. Supervisors for retail workforce that are available in Mobile County, the 829 jobs are available, and 155 people have filed for unemployment benefits from that same profession. Heavy tractor and trailer truck drivers, there are 768 jobs available, and there are 140 people filing for unemployment from that business. Waitresses and waiters and waitresses, there are 248 jobs available in Mobile County, and we have 96 people filing for unemployment in that same industry, from that same industry, meaning they were employed by that industry and lost their job and went on unemployment, but their job's still available. Cashiers, there are 275 jobs available, but there are 404 people that have filed for unemployment as a cashier. So maybe everyone can't work, but some people can. Laborers, freight, movers, 434 jobs available. And there are exactly 87 people filing for unemployment. They all could have a job in the market that they filed unemployment from. And these are, and security guards, there are 260 jobs available. and there are 88 people filing for Social Security as a security job. So Mobile, everyone can work if they want to. And that's not all of it. There's several more on the list that I could read.
Yeah.
But there, and I just gave you the name of three companies in Mobile that are hiring. Why have we lost work? Is working, has it become a dirty word saying I have a job? You know, Jason just sent in on the text line, his first job at the age of 12 was reading meters in Cushla, Alabama. Said, fun times, great memories. But it starts a work ethic. And folks, every time we let our kids sit inside the air conditioning playing video games while you're outside mowing the lawn or changing a tire or whatever you're doing, you don't teach them work ethic. Just make him come out and watch. Even if he can't do something, just let him come out and watch. Make him desire to work to have his own. Make him want to go and earn. And teaching common skills as common, learning to speak standardized English, learning to shake a hand, learning how to write, learning how to communicate orally. These are the things that create a work ethic, the desire to want to go and earn. There should never be a time when a young man does not want to earn. He does not want to. But we've created a society where we made it so easy for people to sit up. I just read you some of the professions in Mobile County where people are claiming unemployment, but there are jobs available in their field. I always thought the unemployment office would pair you with a career. You know, if you get laid off, they say, oh, well, this place is hiring. They send you over there. They don't do that anymore, Mad Hatter.
I would think they would. I mean, I know you can get you can go straight to the unemployment office and start filling out, you know, applications, and they'll send you out. If you go up there, they'll send you out.
Right. So these unemployment numbers should be down. We're at 3.7%. I don't know where that ranks nationally, but it could be lower just by what we read. And there's just dignifying. There's dignifying to work. There's a lot of pride that goes involved in it. I don't want you to be like Coach Akins was when we roofed that house. One shingle was offline at the top. The something thread matched or something. He was afraid that it was going to rain into the house. And he, man, we got to tear this whole thing up and start over again. Don't be like that. Don't be, hey man, tear off a piece of shingle and stick it in there. No one's going to see it. But his pride and his work made him consider that. Fortunately, he figured something out. But yes, that is a work ethic. That is the pride he takes in doing his job. And that's lost. These guys nowadays don't seem to care about how their work looks or who's watching them.
Above and beyond the call of duty in any job you work.
And that starts with home. Everything begins at home. Telling your child, do it right. Do it until you get it right. Do it over. In school, do it till you get it right. Yes. Keep writing it. Do it till you get it right. Like I said last week about education, most Mobile County public school system are testing all of the less than 50% in language arts, math, and science, but we're still graduating 82% of the students. And hey, look, I just read what's on the paper. But there's an issue there. Home isn't forcing the schools to teach. The schools aren't forcing homes to raise their children. We're sort of delegating everything to the football coach or the basketball coach. Hey, yeah, it's fun playing sports in high school, but if you can't learn how to read, write, and count while you're there, you can't find a job. You just are unemployable. And when you go so long without a job, I remember the longest time I was unemployed.
And look at all those football players that get in trouble. They don't right. seem they're not rooted. They don't have any root system, so to speak.
Right. They have no character. They've not been taught discipline. They've not been taught self-control. And that has to come from home. I was unemployed for about 9 months when I was in my early 20s. And that was the most humiliating time of my life. I had to move back in with my dad, waiting for a job. It's just humiliating.
It is.
Just being an adult and having to rely on other people for everything, for food or for a shelter. And I was fortunate. I have a very I'm blessed to have the family I have. We really care about one another. And my sisters and brothers and father helped me out in that spot. But I said this will never happen again. You know, and I was young and foolish then, and I'm not going to go work here. I'm not going to work there. I'm going to wait for this cop job. And I shouldn't have. I should have been a man and gone and found whatever job I could and provide for myself. And so when I say these things about employment, it's not me speaking down to anyone, Mad Hatter. It's me speaking from a place of experience.
I waited too long to get a particular job, and it wasn't coming up, and it wasn't available. And the other jobs that were available that had nothing to do with what I was looking for, but I could work, had a job, they dried up.
Right.
And for a while, there weren't no employment opportunities.
Right. And when those circumstances, it has to be doubly worse because you want to work,
right,
and there's nothing available.
And you have to take any port in a storm.
Right. Anything that's hiring, anything that pays. And so we have to, for our families to be successful, men, we always have to work. We always have to roll up our sleeves. If more hours needs to be worked or if you have to work a second job, that's what we need to do. We need to go out and instill this in our children. Remember, the foundation is the family. You'll make the stronger neighborhoods and communities when everyone worked. Growing up in Hillsdale, Bro Young is listening. He could probably send me a message and tell me if I'm wrong, but we had a carpenter, a brick mason, a small business owner, you know, in the neighborhood. Dad worked at Scott Paper Company. There was a school teacher. There were doctors. There was this wide range of working families there that had every type of profession you could think of. And so all we saw were people getting up, going to work. There's a single finger salute coming up on the last break. But that's what we have to get back to, Port City Patriots. We have to get back to rolling up our sleeves and getting out. I hear all the talk about the jobs ThyssenKrupp brings and the jobs that Austell brings. And my buddy Rodney Patrick is the head of the human resources at Austell. So if anybody wants to, I'll forward his number to you, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to try to get you a job over there. But we hear these jobs and they're available. They are. Even Bradley Byrne, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, said there just aren't enough employees. Dennis Owens, I gave you this information earlier. We talked to my office for about an hour last Friday, and he said it's hard getting people to show up to work. He said he can't keep people. You know, same thing with Greg Poole. He put on Facebook that they're hiring at Pitts & Sons. So there are jobs available, Port City Patriots, and we need to shame people into getting jobs. Coming back from our break, 251-343-0106, Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Be right back. Good evening, Port City Patriots. We are back with Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am Mr. Mobile, your host. Bob, I'm glad you're listening to me. We'll have you back in the studio again because, of course, you're paying the bills. And that's another place, Newdrolics. He's the home of second chances. If you need a job and you say, man, this is my last chance, and you're down on your luck, Bob will figure out something to do with you. He runs a great business, and I name all of these locally owned businesses. These aren't corporations. These are people from the area who own businesses in the area. That's why I always only talk about locally owned businesses, because I want us to patronize each other. I want us to employ Mobilians. I'm fed up with the idea that people, they can't find enough people to work at Austell. Think about this, Matt Hatter. If they had jobs at Austell paying, starting pay at $17 an hour now, I guess back in the 80s, or in the early 90s when I started police work, would have been about $15 or $20 an hour, because Pritchard PD, I left there after 6 years and was only making $9.09 an hour. So, but if they had these jobs available, because back then it was only International and Scott Paper, if they had these industry jobs available, I may have chosen a different career, because those jobs had benefits and retirement and vision and dental and overtime. And I may have, if these types of opportunities were available 36 years ago, but they're available now. And these kids can barely communicate, a series of grunts and groans. They probably can't pass a drug test. The hairstyles they wear, they can't wear a hard hat on their heads. They can't put their cell phones down long enough to watch what's going on. They're rude, disrespectful. They talk too much. They're violent and combative. Port City, This is our city. It will be what we make it. So we have to take a vested interest in ensuring that our homes are building a foundation based on family, education, employment, and discipline. We can't just keep leaving it up, thinking we can legislate our way out of it or make a law out of it. We have to be morally responsible for what we do and when we do. Look, everyone has to take a step back. Like I said, I was unemployed for about 9 months, and it hurt. But I decided it won't happen again. What do you have?
I think it says, to help the young men you mentioned earlier with haircuts, et cetera, should I make the check to Men United?
Yes. Thank you. Is there a name?
I think that's Jason again.
We'll see. Okay, great.
Let me check.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, it was Jason. Jason,
oh, wonderful.
Sent that message.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I mean. These are the kids. They would want jobs. If they were old enough to get a job at some of the places I named, they'd show up because they want to be productive. And these are the kids we should pour into. So I have no doubt that when they're old enough, they will start applying for these jobs, whatever they're interested in.
Yeah, and small businesses are hiring, you know, and have hired, you know. We hired.
Everyone is hiring. Restaurants are hiring. They can't get. I went to a big chain store. I'm not going to say the name because I always talk about how much I hate shopping there, to return something. And the lady at the return desk said, you called me at the right time because we had three people call out. I was about to leave and close this down because we don't have enough people. And so people are calling into work. My good friend, you've heard. Drew has been here before, and his wife manages a local restaurant. I'm not mentioning the name because they won't pay for a sponsorship, but they'll have people just come in and say they applied for a job just to get their paperwork signed so they can take it to the unemployment office. Or people will turn down a promotion because they'll earn too much money and then lose their food stamp or welfare. And you're supposed to lose it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be there forever, Mobile. You're supposed to cycle off of it. It's a hand up. It's meant to just give you that helping hand when you need it most so you won't be hungry or homeless. But we made this a lifestyle. The most recent numbers I could find was from 2021, so I didn't bring it with me, that in 1969 when welfare began, there were only 2 million Americans on it. In 2021, there were 44 million Americans on the welfare. What is that, a 2,000 or 20,000% increase?
Huge.
And that's what we've done. We've made ourselves a dependent, reliant society. And it's our fault. It's our fault because we stopped putting shame on not working. We continued electing people who want to give more tax. Listen, these are not subsidies. These are not affordable homes. These are taxpayers' dollars. These are taxpayer dollars that goes to fund every item or idea the government has. You want us to pay off your debt loan forgiveness? Call the government. We'll give you these subsidies. No, it's my taxpayer money. Pay off my credit cards. You want to give me a break? Pay off my IRS debt. If you want to give me a pass, take that. If you're giving things away. But we've become a society where there are fewer and fewer people working. I won't eat fast food anymore. I won't eat Waffle House anymore. The last five meals have just been terrible.
Ooh.
But terrible. It used to be my favorite cheat meal. But if you go to a fast food restaurant, when you walk in, the floors are dirty. The trash is already full. If you go in at 11 when they're open, the trash bags are full. The drink station has dried soda pop on the counter. And if they're that filthy in public, can you imagine what the kitchen is like?
Ooh.
Can you imagine what the bathroom? So now that we've reached this point that even those that have jobs, they're lazy at doing their job.
But you can tell a good fast food restaurant still, because there are some when you go and they never get your order wrong. They always get your order right. There are places
really
like that. Oh, yeah. Like there's that McDonald's over on Airport, up here on Airport.
Yeah.
Never get my order wrong, ever.
Okay. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. There are places like that that always get the orders wrong.
Well, you renewed my faith in those places because I've ridden them off because the service is so rude. Customer service is a dead thing now. It's not as it used to be pretty popular, but now it's because the home isn't teaching that courtesy.
Oh, and that Wendy's over there on the airport, they're very good customer service.
In front of the mall.
Yeah, they're very good customer service.
Oh, wonderful. I'll remember that, Mad Hatter. But the reason customer service is dying is because discipline is failing in the home, and that's the topic of next week's show. And I'll also have Greg Looney Foundation here with me, and he's going to talk about what his foundation does. And that's something else I want to start doing, Port City Patriots, is every once in a while I want to bring in local charities, just like the Family of the Fallen. You know, if you're interested in signing up for their Jailbreak Fun Run, it's on November 8th, 2025. You can go to runsignup.com/race/Alabama/Mobile/FOTF Jailbreak 5K online. And sign up to help them raise money. And so a few times a month, Matt Hatter, I'm going to bring on local charities, local organizations, and try to put them in contact with people that can help. This is our city, Port City Patriots. It's our city. We make it, I say this every week, we make it what it will be, and we should do it together. Let's stop letting people divide us and tell us that we're different because we look different, or you like a certain football team and I like a different team. We have far more in common than we have not in common, uncommon. And one thing we can share is the desire to work, live, and play in our city. And that is on us. That's up to us. Support our local businesses. Support our small businesses. Stop taking our money to these big box stores and these large, go to a community bank. You know, I have a community, Commonwealth and Community Bank. Go to a local seamstress. Go to a local florist. Go to Eddie's Pawn Shop for your pawn needs. Go to James Gordon for chiropractic needs. Go to Neudrolis for your industrial hose needs. Let's make Mobile strong. That way they employ Mobilians, they work for Mobilians, and this is our Mobile that we'll make stronger. This is, he gave me the one finger salute. We're running out of time. The time flies on air.
Yes.
But I hope everyone understands the importance of employment and why we need to teach our children a work ethic and a desire to work, and not just to sit up and have everything given to them. You know, earning an allowance used to mean something. Let's make it mean something again. Let's make full employment something again. Let's shame those. And you know something? I'm going to end with this. Everyone knows that I don't like vagrants, and I make a distinction between homeless and vagrants. Homeless is somebody that can't help, but they need help. But these people begging for money on every corner, I used to think they were the chump. They're not the chump. The person that gives them the money is the chump. You go work all day and all week, and then you hand your money to someone just standing on the corner. That's insane. You're the chump if you give your money away. Give it to me. Tonight on Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll see you next Monday night. Thank you guys for tuning in. God bless. I love the Port City.